Hear God's word now, so you know the drill. If you're a visitor, we ask the church to hold up our Bibles. Let's hold those Bibles up. Come on now, one of my great scenes. I get to see those Bibles. All right, someone in the back too just got theirs way up. That's good. We want to hear God's word this morning. We're going to be looking at a passage in just a moment in 1 Timothy chapter 3. But at the request of the elders, the leadership here at Crosstown, our shepherds, have seen the need to appoint additional servants or deacons in our congregation here at Crosstown. So they've asked that we have a lesson this morning that kind of reminds us of the important role of the work and, yes, of the qualifications of the individuals that God calls to be His special servants or deacons, as we often think of them. And so we're going to have a lesson here this morning about deacons. Maybe to some, maybe not the most thrilling lesson, but it's a very important part of God's plan for His church. And I love deacons. I love to give deacons a hard time. Just preachers and deacons, you know, we have an interesting relationship. And I've done my fair share of telling jokes at the expense of deacons about light bulbs and how many does it take. And I mean, all those sort of things. And I've had deacon song leaders that would always get their jabs in at me. And so I love deacons. Love to give them a hard time. Love the work that they do for the church, those servants of God. And so we're going to look at that this morning from God's Word, just a little bit of an overview, if you will. But, you know, leadership, every organization has to have leadership. I don't care if you're talking about a business, a government, the military. You have to have leadership. And God has seen fit that His body, the church of Jesus Christ, is organized in such a way that it can be efficient, that it can fulfill the purpose that God has for the church. And of course, God has seen fit that as Jesus is the head of the church, He has seen fit that every local congregation, every church family locally that worships and meet in a specific location, that they're overseen or shepherded by a group of men that we think of elders or overseers, or often the word pastors are often used as well for those men who are spiritual leaders, in the sense that they oversee and they see that we're spiritually on the right track and being the kind of people we need to be. And we could talk about elders this morning if we had time, but we're going to focus on another group of appointed leaders, if you will. Sometimes people will say the office, but I don't like to use that term too much because it has so many other connotations that come to our mind. And it's really not to be seen as an office per se. It's a work. It's a role. It's a function that God calls certain individuals. And so God has given elders or overseers in the church family, every local church. He's also seen fit that there be a group of individuals that we often are familiar with the word deacon or deacons. The word deacon comes from the Greek word deaconos, and it's a word that is translated three different ways. Most often it is simply a servant, one who serves, literally one who waits on tables is the idea. The word is also translated to minister or a minister. Matter of fact, Jesus is called a deacon, a minister. The apostles are called on a couple occasions ministers or doing ministry. But then there is also this word that's translated five times that we find in the New Testament that is translated deacon. And there it has the idea in the context where it's used of appointed servants. You see, every Christian should be a servant, should be a deacon in that sense of the word, very broad sense of the word. If you didn't know that this morning, Jesus calls us to serve and not be served. Are you with me this morning? We are all to be servants. And that involves men, that involves women. You know, we have women servants in this church. We have women who are involved in ministry and do great works. But God has seen also that there be a group of individuals who are appointed servants, deacons. And so we're going to think about that this morning here, that very specific, narrow group of individual men that he calls to be his appointed servants in a church. Let's think just briefly here about the work of deacons, the work of deacons there. Someone might think about Acts chapter 6. I want to look at a couple of passages here. You know, often people will turn to Acts chapter 6. You might be turning over there. Put your finger in 1 Timothy 3. We're going to spend most of our time in 1 Timothy 3. But Acts chapter 6, sometimes people will say, okay, these are the first deacons in the church. And this is kind of an interesting passage. You know, we're really not given a great deal of information about the work of the deacons. That is, what exactly did they do in the early church? Some will turn to this passage, and I think it's a helpful passage. Here in Acts chapter 6, the first couple of verses, the church is growing so much that there's a great problem in the early church in Jerusalem. A problem arises in verse 1 where a group of individuals, a group of women, of widow women, are being unintentionally neglected in the daily distribution of the food that was a part of the early church ministry there in Jerusalem in the first days of the church. And some of these widow women are being neglected, and there arises kind of a complaint, somewhat of a controversy. And, you know, Satan is good to cause distractions and want to cause problems, and this could have been a very potential serious problem for the unity and life of the church. But the apostles come together, and notice what they say in verse 2. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." And the word "wait on tables" there, that's a verb form of the word "deaconos." There they are, these to serve. And the apostles here, when they say, it's not right for us to be doing this, they're not saying it's not important. Don't understand that. It was incredibly important in the life of the church. You read Genesis through Revelation, and you want to find a group of people that God is concerned about more often than most, it is widows. In the ancient days, widows were very vulnerable. And so they needed to be looked after and make sure their needs were being cared for. And so the apostles are not saying, we don't have time for that kind of work. That's not important. That's not what they're saying. They're saying they have another work, a primary work that they've been called to do. And that's, of course, the ministry. And that's another form of that word. It's a ministry to minister to the Word of God in prayer. And so what the apostles do is they say, okay, you need to look out among your own group. And they give some qualifications here. And we have these men here that are appointed there in verse 3. And this passage says that these seven men, full of the Spirit and wisdom, we will turn ourselves over to give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. And then in verse 5 and 6, you have these men, these seven men that are mentioned here, that are these special servants, if you will. And someone says, okay, those are the deacons. Well, the word is not used there to call them that. Some have often called this is the prototype. This is kind of the forerunners for deacons, as we might think about it. And that may be the case. I think it's interesting. Someone will often look at this passage and say, okay, what this tells us is elders, if you will, if you want to make that the application, elders will do more of the spiritual nature of the work in the church, and deacons, like these men, they do more of the temporal, physical needs of the church. They wait on tables, so to speak, metaphorically, that language we would say. Well, I think that's too strict of a definition. I think that's too rigid. I don't buy into that completely here, that it's saying, if you will, elders are going to do the spiritual work in the church and deacons are going to do kind of the physical, temporal things in the church. I've heard that a lot in the Lord's church. And I'm going to tell you, I think it greatly undermines our deacons when we give that kind of impression that deacons have no spiritual area of work, that they just simply do the temporal, physical things. And the passage I think that might help us is in Philippians 1. It's actually, you might say it's a very obscure reference here, but I think it's important, Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Philippi, and we see that according to Acts, elders were appointed in every congregation, that is, every church family that worships in a specific location is self-governed. They're autonomous. That is, they're self-governed or ruled. And so we are at this location at Crosstown, and we have a group of elders that shepherd and oversee this location. There are other churches of Christ in Tulsa. They don't shepherd and oversee those congregations. Every church has this leadership of elders. But notice also in Philippians 1 and verse 1, as Paul's writing to the church collectively, he says there that Paul, Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, verse 1 of Philippians 1, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers, or another word we think about, elders, overseers, and guess who else he mentions? Deacons. Deacons. He links the two together there as far as addressing the church. Now, overseers or elders, the word there that's used later on in the Bible, 1 Timothy 3, elders are to be overseers. And the word there in the ancient language of the Greek language, it had the idea of a foreman, a manager, an overseer, and managing a group's affairs. And I think that that's one idea there that the Bible gives us. Elders are overseers of the spiritual affairs of the local church. But here's what I want you to note. Here's what I want you to note there on the handout. Deacons are going to be assistants in that work, because Paul addresses the elders and overseers and the deacons. Deacons, I believe we see from Scripture, are going to be those assistants. They are going to assist in the work that the elders are doing in overseeing the church, the local congregation. And that involves all of the needs of the church. We have physical needs at this church building, at this location here at Crosstown. We have this building that we meet in. There are physical needs. There are things that have to be done in that regard, if you will, to serve tables, to wait on tables, if you will, if you want to use that language. And we're thankful that we have deacons here that have been appointed to serve in those areas. We have needs in regard to benevolence. We have needs in regard to our Bible school program. We have needs in regard to our visitation program. And we have appointed men who meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 that we're going to note, who can be assistants to the elders in overseeing this church. Am I making any sense this morning? That's what a deacon is. That's why it's too rigid to say, well, deacons only just do physical, temporal things. They don't do spiritual things. Where did we get that idea? Deacons are to be helpers. They're to be assistants with the elders as they oversee our church. And it involves all areas of our church life, both physical and spiritual. And I'm thankful that we have those men to help our elders in that regard. And so we see the work, I believe, of deacons in this sense, as servants helping, assisting the elders in the overseeing spiritually of our church. But let's think about these qualifications now, because that's really what I want to focus our lesson primarily on here this morning. If deacons are going to be those helpers, those assistants, those appointed men that meet the qualifications here in 1 Timothy 3 that help the elders in overseeing our church family here at Crosstown, what are those qualifications? Because not just anybody can serve in this capacity. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, notice this passage now. We have the qualifications. First part of chapter 3, Paul spends on the qualifications for elders. Those men who would serve as those spiritual shepherds. Those men who would serve as those overseers or elders who would pastor the flock here. They have qualifications, and Paul has talked about that in the first part of 1 Timothy 3. We're not looking at that this morning. That'll probably be another time down the road, Lord willing, hopefully, when we address elders, hopefully, as we continue to grow as a church in our leadership. We're thinking about deacons, beginning in verse 8. And I'm going to be using the language here from the English Standard Version because it does a very good, more literal job here, I think, with these descriptions of the qualifications for a deacon. And let's just note these here. I have on your handout on the bulletin the outline. We're going to go through these here rather quickly here in this passage. Notice, first of all, they are to be dignified. They're to be dignified here. That's the word that we find here. Dignity. They're men of dignity or dignify. Men of respect. The NIV kind of paraphrases that a little bit. But the idea is these are serious. The idea is grave. One translation, reverent men. Serious men. Reverent men. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that a deacon is to be a dignified, serious man? Does that mean he can't tell a joke? Does that mean that this is a man who doesn't laugh, but he kind of is always just serious about everything? That there's no place for this in the church? You know, I remember on one occasion I was got an email from a member who was kind of criticizing my preaching style because I had told a joke. And this person just thought, you know, that there's no place for that. Of course, I found it a little bit funny that I told a joke, but they clearly didn't get the joke. But anyway, that there's no place for that. There's no place for humor and more lighthearted things. That really a Christian kind of is the idea that a lot of people may have if they think that way. That a Christian is to be serious. They're to be grave. So a deacon can't be that. No, that's not what he's saying. But he is saying that a deacon is to take spiritual things serious. Here's a man who's serious about the Word of God, about the will of God, about the work of God. Spiritual things matter to this individual. A deacon needs to be serious about spiritual things. And it's not just enough that they have good skills, organizational skills, other skills to help them in ministry. They need to be serious about spiritual things. And so he says that there. But he also says they're not to be double-tongued, literally there. The idea of two-faced. And the idea here is integrity. Here is a person who is honest, bone-deep honest in their approach and dealings in life. Men who are going to assist the elders in carrying out the oversight of God's work and the ministries of God's work. There's a lot at stake. There's a lot of sensitivity. There's a lot of important things that are going to be handed to them. And they need to be men who are of integrity, who are honest, who can be trusted. They're not two-faced about things. You know, that they say one thing over here with this group of people, and then they might change their way when they get around another group of people. No, these are not double-tongued people at all here. They are men of integrity. And honesty here. And then he says they're not to be addicted to much wine. So that what that means is a deacon can toss back a few, but just not too many. Now that's a joke. That's a joke. I just made a joke. If I get an email tomorrow saying, Robert, I don't like your preaching style and I don't like the joke you just made, I was joking. But that's kind of the idea, because if you go back, that some people have sometimes, because back in earlier in the chapter, he talks about elders, that they're not to be given to wine, and he doesn't say much wine, so some have said, well, you see, that's right, elders who serve as the spiritual leaders, they can't drink. Deacons, now they can have a little bit to drink. Well, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Number one, most Greek scholars, most who look at this passage say, the same message is what Paul is saying. We make a distinction when we say, oh, he says much. They can't have much wine. In Paul's mind here, more than likely, he doesn't see any such distinction here with this word here. We usually make more of that than we probably should. He's not saying, deacons, they can toss them back. They can indulge in life's greatest pleasure, and I'll tell you also life's greatest problem is alcohol. And so to me, if you're looking for a verse that justifies that, you're not going to find it here. And you won't ever find me justifying one of life's greatest problems, which is alcohol. and the destruction it does in our lives. But nonetheless here, these are people, what Paul is saying, who are not to be controlled. They're not to have their judgment impaired. And that's, of course, what alcohol does. If you don't know that or not yet, alcohol impairs judgment. And here are individuals who are not going to be impaired in their judgment. They're not going to be mastered here by the habits. And one of the greatest, most destructive habits that people get entrapped in is drinking and alcohol and getting drunk. And so this, you won't ever have this preacher, me, apologize that I encourage Christians, stay away from it. Stay away from it because of the danger and destruction it causes in people's lives and the influence that it brings in a negative way even. So, but these are people who aren't controlled by this habit is what he's saying here in this passage. But he also says next, they're not to be men of greedy, dishonest gain. Sordid gain. They're not lovers of money. They're not lovers of money. Their hearts are set not on material things, but things above. They take spiritual things serious. Now, I will tell you this. How do you tell if someone is a lover of money? I'll tell you how not to tell. You don't look at the car they drive. You don't look at the house they live in. You don't look at the clothes that they wear. That's not how you tell if someone is a lover of money. You look at their lifestyle. You look at their conversation. You look at their interest. You look at their priorities. You look at the things that they pursue. What are the things that impress them? Is it material things? Is that what they're kind of consumed with and caught up with? Well, if that is the case, that person cannot serve as a deacon. Here is a man who is not pursuing that in his life. Not that he doesn't work, and not that he hasn't been blessed materially even. But that's not what his agenda and focus in life is material things, to make money and to always be living for those sort of things. That's not their primary goal. It's, again, the spiritual focus that he's saying here and being consumed with. And then he says that deacons are also to have the hold to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. You see that? You know, I got to just rail on this for just a moment. I've almost seen the impression in some churches where, you know, a deacon, oh, he doesn't really have to know the Bible. You know, elders, now they got to be strong in the Word. They got to know the Scriptures. They got to be strong in their doctrine and their commitments and their convictions. Deacons, folks, where do we get that nonsense from? This says a deacon has to hold the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. This isn't some wishy-washy Christian. This isn't some spiritual weakling we're talking about. This is a strong Christian, and he knows what he believes, and he knows his convictions, and he's not afraid to stand for those truths of God's Word. He's not theologically weak and shallow. And I'm just going to tell you, as growing up in the Lord's church, I've seen that impression almost given that, well, you know, deacons, maybe because we've bought into that, they don't do spiritual things really primarily. And so we've made these men and that somehow they're not to be spiritual deep men. I don't know where we got that from. Paul says these are men who hold the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. And that's something that is important here. He also says they need to be proven or tested next. I don't care what you're talking about in life, any kind of business, government, military, you know, military. They don't just make anybody a lieutenant, and they don't make anybody a captain, and they don't make anybody an admiral, and they don't make anybody a general. You've got to be tested. You've got to be proven. And here the idea here is that these are men who've shown themselves to be dependable, trustworthy men in that sense. They're capable of serving before they've been appointed to serve. You don't just say, well, let's just try them out first and see how they work. No, they've shown themselves in areas in their life that they are trustworthy, capable men who've been tested when you look at their life and their conduct and their character. He also says they're to be blameless or have proven themselves beyond reproach. And I think that's the idea here. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. Same with elders. These are not men who are spiritually perfect. They struggle. They will have sin in their life at times. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that these are men who are not guilty of any serious, nameable sins that are inconsistent with how they claim to live and what they believe. That is, you can't go to them and say, you live this way, but you claim this. No, they're to be beyond reproach in that sense. It's not that they're not that they're perfect or they don't ever struggle, but there's not this obvious nameable sin in their life. They've got a good reputation, a good report here. And then he says also that deacons are to be faithful to his wife. Now, before we mention the faithful to his wife part, I'm kind of skipping over what he says about their wives, I believe. If you'll look down in verse 11, in the same way their wives are to be worthy of respect, not malicious gossips, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. I will say this, Paul does say some things about the wives, the ladies who are married to these men, both elders, the elders' wives and deacons' wives, that they themselves are to be spiritually mature Christian women, that they are not to be, they're worthy of respect, and they're not to be gossips, and that they're to be trustworthy in everything. These women that support their husbands, it's important that they too have this kind of a character as well that is important to help assist their husbands, and that they can be trusted, because elders, deacons sometimes are going to be dealing with things that are very sensitive, sometimes even confidential. And their wives as well need to be of character that show themselves being trustworthy and faithful as well in the Lord. But he does say about their family that they need to be, some of the translations will say the husband of one wife. The newer versions will say what I think is what it means, faithful to their wife. The emphasis is not, well, here's a married man. Here is a man who is married and he's faithful to his wife. He is showing God's design and plan for marriage in his marriage. Not that he's perfect or she is perfect, the wife of the elder or deacon, but that they are striving to show that kind of commitment to God's family and God's marriage. And so here's a committed man. He's faithful. He's loyal to his wife. That's the kind of men that God's looking for to be leaders here when it comes to elders and deacons. And then he also says that they're to manage their children and household well. Obviously, children are a part of that. And so men who don't have children, they would not qualify to serve as elders and deacons. You see, what children do is that's really a proving ground for this individual. Is how does he influence those that live in his own house? You know, one of the differences in the qualifications, to be honest, between elders and deacons is elders' children need to be believing children. You don't find that qualification given for deacons, that they simply are managing their home and their children. But here is individuals who've shown themselves, proven themselves in their home life, their wife, they are a faithful husband. They have children, and they are managing their household affairs, their family, in a Christian way. That's the emphasis here. Again, for individuals, elders, especially elders, you know, Paul's point will be to elders, that if they can't influence their own family, how are they going to influence the church of God? Again, those that live in their home and that they're raising up, not talking about when they get older and leave the home, but when they have them in their home, under their influence. What kind of example, what kind of influence did they have on them? Again, deacons need to have shown that they can manage their children, their household well in regard to this. They have proven good leadership as spiritual men, and that's a great proving ground in the home and with men, been fathers and husbands in this regard. And so Paul provides us this list, this qualification, if you will, And I believe it's not just mere suggestion. I think we're committed to that. As the Church of Jesus Christ here at Crosstown and Churches of Christ, we're committed to having the kind of scriptural leadership, the kind of men who will serve as elders and deacons, as Paul gives instruction to Timothy, as Timothy's working with the church at Ephesus, appointing that these men who are appointed to serve as elders and deacons meet qualifications here and are spiritual men here in this regard. Now, just a second here, one of our elders, Roddy Roberts, is now going to come up, and he is going to present, as our elders have looked out in the congregation, they have found some men that they believe can meet these qualifications and serve here. So now Roddy's going to come up with a few words, and then I'll come back and close this out.
Long since we've heard a sermon on deacons and elders. Your elders have seen a need that we should appoint some. Before I get into that, I would encourage the men in this congregation that are moving this direction in their lives, prepare yourself, Man. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds for helping with this work as in leadership. We approached a number of men that we felt might be fit these guidelines that you've heard this morning. Certainly there's men that we're aware of some of their life circumstances, and we approached a number of men, and out of this group of men that we approached, two were willing and able to stand up and have their names put before the congregation. As Robert mentioned in one of the verses, says, and we have a little bit of a tradition in the church that we put those names forward, and we give you a week to voice any scriptural concerns about these men. And we ask that you provide those in writing and signed to the elders so that we could deal with those directly. It's not hadn't been a problem in the past, but we want to offer that out. And this morning, we put two names before you, deacons for this church here, this body here at Crosstown. Our brother Lee Corns, and you see a picture on your screen here of he and his family. Lee doesn't even have to stand up; his head's tall enough where you can see him. But
we're already joking with him. So there you go, right?
There we go. That. Sorry, I told a joke. Lee Corns is willing and also, I should sort of backtrack a little bit in that, you know, we had some specific works that we needed deacons for, just as this example with the widows, and found someone that we felt had talents for that. So Lee Corns is one of the candidates for deacon here that we want to place for you. And the other one is Ty Kirkpatrick. And Ty's not here this morning. Ty is... as many of y'all know, he's a surgeon, and he can't be here every Sunday. He's there saving lives and sewing people up this morning, but he would be here if he could. So there's the two men, Ty Kirkpatrick and Lee Corns, and here we'll have this week for to present any objections or concerns. Hand those to elders directly, if you would, and then in the coming weeks we will install them as deacons, and we look forward to that. So, thank you for your time on this morning.
Thankful for the good men and their families that have been put forward, and we're thankful for those who will serve and sacrifice here in our congregation, both as elders, their wives, and as deacons and their wives. And all of our ministry leaders, all of our men and women that serve and do ministry here, we're just so blessed. But we're thankful that we do have these individuals that can serve in an appointed way as elders and deacons. And I hope you'll be in prayer for us and these men. And we look forward to hopefully seeing them put in as those servants here at Crosstown. Well, our lesson this morning hasn't been designed to teach you how to become a Christian. It's been a very narrow focus of our life of our congregation, but it's important. But maybe you've looked at the depth a little bit of, as Roddy said, maybe we don't look at these passages often. But really, you've looked at that and you think, I see a spiritual depth that I don't have in my life. Because really, if you think about it, next to some of those specific teaching and family qualifications, those should really be the ideals of all Christians that should be striving to be that way and to have that kind of character in their life. And so maybe you recognize you're lacking in some areas and you want to make some changes. Maybe that's a private change. Maybe it involves a public response and you need to ask for prayers, maybe forgiveness of this church family. And we would encourage you. We would pray for you. Maybe you need to become a Christian this morning and you need to put the Lord Jesus on in the waters of baptism and become a new creation and live a Christian life so that you can serve the Lord wherever you can in your Christian walk. If we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing now.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey.